You're on your Classic Hits Breakfast with Jordan Curtis. And what is shrinkflation? It's not a term I think anyone outside of economics would probably be talking about too often, but it's something which is affecting our food prices. I'm joined by Julia Newbold, Managing Editor of Money Magazine. Julia, how's it going?
Well, thank you, Jordan. And yourself?
Yeah, not too bad. But I guess first things first, what actually is shrinkflation?
Shrinkflation is the idea that instead of prices going up for certain products, the amount of product you're getting is less. So you are paying more, but you're not seeing it in the same way. You're just getting less.
Right. So rather than the price going up for the same size object, the price stays the same, the object gets smaller.
That's right. Because there's been studies done where consumers react more if the price goes up rather than if the size of the product goes down. So, for example, a chocolate bar in, a family block of Cadbury's in 2009 was 250 grams and now it's 180 grams.
Right.
And we kind of go along with it because we think, oh, it's probably healthier. And, you know, if you're calorie counting or, you know, you're watching your sugar or your sodium intake, you look at the back of the packet and it's less and you're feeling good about it yourself, but the price is still the same and so you're being charged more. And, you know, in that way, the cost of living is going up for it.
Right, because I guess it's sort of like a psychological tactic more than anything from marketers, isn't it?
Exactly. It's a marketing tactic. And, you know, they've done the studies, they've paid the money, they know what consumers will take. And, it's like how things, if they're priced under a certain amount, it looks better. If it's something 99 or 95, it looks cheaper and it looks more appealing than if it's a rounded number.
Even though if you're paying with cash, it'll round up.
Exactly.
Right. So I guess what are the causes of shrinkflation then? What are we seeing pushing this as a thing?
So, you know, prices do go up for the whatever it is that the product is made of. So, you know, the prices going up for the producers means that they're going to have to charge more, but this is the way they combat that. And there's also the idea that because there are so many more products on sale at supermarkets, the supermarkets are putting pressure on the product producers to make them smaller so they can fit more on the shelves so that we get more choices of things.
So when it comes to our products, obviously, like you said, chocolate is a good example of shrinkflation, but does it also relate to non-consumables?
Yep. So as well as there's chips and cornflakes and all those sorts of things, but there's also things like toilet paper. You know, you might notice that your toilet paper is not lasting as long. There might be a few sheets taken out of that. You know, the rolls are thinner than they used to be. Or, you know, it may be those sort of paper products like your cleaning towels, your soaps, everything like that. And one of our readers has commented on a story saying that he's noticed that with his laundry detergent, the measuring cup's gone up so that you actually, if you're using the measuring cup, you're going to use more of the laundry powder or the laundry liquid to do a wash. But, you know, that one's an easy one to combat. Just don't fill it up. You know, you're usually given the suggested amount, which is probably more than you actually need to use per wash. So you can monitor that one yourself.
So is this just a way for the companies to make up for maybe losses that they've been making?
Yeah, to make up for losses and to make up for the increased cost of the raw materials that they're using. So, you know, you've got to be careful. When you do go shopping, the supermarkets do have the unit price amount usually on the product. So, you know, be careful and check them out and see if the different sized products are actually giving you a different value.
And I guess checking that price per 100 grams or whatnot.
Exactly, because that evens it out. I mean, it's really hard to do some of those sums in your head as you're going around the aisles. So fortunately, it's already done for us and we can work it out. And, you know, other things that you can do to help your grocery bill is go for the home brands where you can for certain things that's cheaper. And depending on where you actually do shopping, do you look at the bargains? Do you check out what's on sale this week? And, you know, shops like Aldi, they are, you know, proven to be a lot cheaper in a lot of circumstances than your Coles and your Woolworths.
Right. So this is very interesting because I guess, like you said, it may not come as a surprise or may not come as a as common knowledge to quite a few people, because they're buying based on price rather than size.
Yeah, that's right. It's all sort of a mental thing. Like, you know, how do you react to, you notice the prices, but you don't necessarily notice the sizes. And over time, it becomes the norm for you. So, you know, you might sort of purchase it the first time thinking it's a little bit smaller, but it doesn't quite register. But after you've done it a few times, you kind of get, you assume that it's the same as ever. You know, you look at cereal boxes. They were a lot bigger a few years ago than they are now. It's, you know, you're going through them much more quickly. But, you know, does that mean you cut the amount you eat, or you're just paying more? You've got to figure it out.
And I guess in 20 years from now, depending on the product, if it's still around, we'll have a look at it and think, what happened to this? It used to be a lot bigger from when I was a kid.
Yeah, that's right. And sometimes you just do blame it on your memory. You think, well, it seemed to be much bigger, but you don't actually realise that actually it was bigger.
Being gaslit by food companies.
Yeah.
Well, Julia, that's been really interesting. Thanks for chatting today.
Thanks very much, Jordan.
That was Julia Newbold, Managing Editor of Money Magazine, on your Classic It's Breakfast.